不要不要再说你爱我，你不要不要再缠着我，你那套老话呀没人欣赏你，你花言巧语赚得坏主意。
This is the eating episode.
Yes, we're going to eat. You guys can hear that I'm a loud eater as well as an embarrassing talker.
And then you can guess what we're eating.
Yes, you can. And the winning guess gets a...
our undying love. That is all.
Okay.
And, yeah. All right. So, what were we going to do first?
I don't know. This is episode 3 now.
Yeah. We've officially put up the first episode, so we're starting to get some feedback.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes.
I think our great burrito off was highly contested.
Yes, I think you're right.
I got a lot of criticism for shit-talking potatoes and burritos.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, really?
It's
okay, it's a breakfast
topic.
Burrito, but, I mean, I don't know. It seems like a slippery slope. First you go breakfast burrito, next thing you know, you're at a Thai wrap.
That's right.
And, you know, it has to end somewhere, so.
We are the Minutemen of the burrito world.
Yes.
We will.
Guarding the borders of the burrito.
Burrito Nation.
The Burrito Nation, yeah. So, whatever. Stay out, illegals.
That's right.
Anyway.
By that we mean hash browns.
Hash browns are the illegal aliens of the burrito world.
They are.
Yeah, okay.
Jerks. They're stealing the jobs of tomatoes and guacamole.
Right, right. And all the other innocent citizens of Burrito Nation.
Yep.
Anyways, so,
living on welfare at the taqueria.
Potatoes. So, that just made me think about tater tots just then. That's been a big topic on the vegan internet lately. How do you think tater tots would be in a burrito?
You know, tater tots and burritos are like... chocolate and chickpea curry. I love them both, but they don't go together. I love potatoes. I love potatoes so much. I would marry a potato if I could.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I love potatoes.
What do you think?
But they just don't belong in burritos. They have to know their boundaries.
Okay. I think that's pretty fair.
It's totally fair.
Yeah. I mean, they would be good, I think, but then it wouldn't really be a burrito anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a
That's
wrap.
Right.
It would be like a, you know, like a I can't think of an unoffensive way to say a white trash wrap. I mean, but I don't mean white trash. I just, you know, like that kind of, it would be a low pop culture wrap.
It's the lowest common denominator wrap. Is that what you're going for?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I mean, tater tots are kind of lowest common denominator, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
In a good way. Tater tots are kind of the uniter. I mean, vegans can eat them.
Yeah.
And, you know,
people who go... They're served in cafeterias.
Yeah, people who go to the rodeo can eat them. It's kind of...
Really?
Yeah, they can. I don't know if they do.
I've never been to a rodeo, so I don't know.
Oh, they're loads of fun.
I had the opportunity, but I tactfully declined.
Mm. See, I've only ever been to protest, and boy, have I ever gotten called a faggot a lot when I've done that.
But did you have tater tots?
No. That is probably what I should have brought.
Tater tots are the great uniter.
Exactly. So, there you go.
It's like breaking bread, but tater tots.
Breaking tots.
Come on over to my place. We'll break some tots.
There you go.
We called for a truce by breaking some tots.
Sage words for these troubled economic times.
Mm-hmm.
When bread is too expensive, you reach for tots.
That's right.
So, we are recording this live from my place.
Yes.
Today, which is different than last time, so if it sounds different, sorry. It must be all the Satan in the air. S-A-T-A-N. Not S-E-I-T-A-N. What do you want to lead off with?
First of all, I need to call you a traitor, because you've been working in the last week. You have been
That's
gainfully
true.
Employed for a couple days. You're a traitor and a...
Turncoat?
A turncoat. That's right.
That's
I had a
true.
Bunch of great words prepared, but in my blind rage, I've forgotten all of them. I'm gainfully employed. You sold out.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I needed to buy new
shoes.
You know,
I was into you when you were cool, but then you sold out.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not cut out for the hobo lifestyle. I'm sad to say.
Turn in your bindle at the counter, please.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yes, I have had a temp job. Thank you very much to Tess, the amazing.
Flirted with employment.
Yes, I'm kind of flirting with it right now, but,
Just don't get into a committed relationship.
I don't know if it will blossom into any kind of committed relationship.
Okay, good.
Mike, on the other hand, is totally sold out. He's working a temp job, and he got a real job, so whatever.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a traitor, and, sorry. Sorry, masses.
Should we do headlines?
Yeah, let's do headlines.
Okay.
We decided the other day that we were going to talk about some ridiculous headlines that we've seen in the last little while.
Let's read them off like we're beginning the news program. I'll read one and then you read one until we get through them. And if there's any that you want to know more about, I've read most of the stories, so I'll let you know. So I'll start and then you go next. And I'll dub some really awesome like news network song over it.
All right.
And now, the evening news, the Cosmopolitan Hour News with Erica and Jordan. Breaking news at this hour, firefighter charged for taking severed foot.
Boy 14, Duke's police patrols Chicago for 5 hours.
Lizard hides in broccoli, finds a new home.
Cow knocks over a woman on bike, steps on her legs.
Couple accused in bingo marker fight.
Mistrial after defendant smears feces on lawyer. Bullet dodged.
Yes. Trapped man survives by drinking whiskey.
Penguin is scared of water.
And rounding up our headline news is Shepherd controls flock with wolf poster. So, and there's one before we get to the other headlines I just read out. There's one that was an awesome story, but the headline wasn't sufficiently kooky enough to include. The headline was Hunter Becomes the Hunted, and it's about a guy that went deer hunting and shot this poor deer and went to pose with it because it's his trophy. But the deer wasn't dead, and it like beat the shit out of him. And he called it, quote, 15 seconds of hell. And what's even better is that the deer attack is on YouTube.
Oh my God.
But then, of course, he shot and killed the deer and make sure it was really dead, which is a tragic ending to the story. But you know what? If you're going to go out, you might as well try to take some fucking hunters down with you, right?
It's true. It's true. I hope that on my deathbed, someone brings a hunter to my bedside so I can give him 15 centimeters.
15 centimeters of hell. That's another segment we're going to talk about, Jordan.
Right, right.
That's our X-rated podcast.
That's the married section of the podcast.
I got vegan empanada all over the headlines. Oh my God.
So, update, we're still eating.
Yeah. And drinking beer.
That's true. That's true. So it's the eating and inebriated podcast today.
Woo!
Is
there any headline that you would like to know more about today?
You know, I would like to know more about the penguin scared of water.
It's really cute. It's this penguin in the Staffordshire Zoo in England. And apparently he doesn't have enough feathers. So he doesn't like going in the water. So it's really cute, but really sad at the same time, because he kind of like stares sadly at all his buddies while they're swimming around having a great time. And he kind of looks sad. And the zookeepers have to force him in the water twice a day to keep his feathers clean. And that's about it.
That's very sad.
It is sad.
And the boy in the police car, that sounds kind of like, was it a young guy who stole the city bus and drove the bus, like, just
because he really wanted to
be a bus driver?
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Same thing with this kid. He just really wanted to be a police officer.
So he thought...
He'd been in some, like, ride-along program, so he knew, like, you know, some general... He knew some general things that police officers do, And he, like, walked into a station and took a uniform and, like, went on a ride for, like, 5 hours and patrolled the Chicago streets.
So he thought that a good way to become a police officer would be to break the law?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Apparently, he's pled not guilty to impersonating an officer or something. But, I mean, the kid's only 14, whatever.
I'm sure he'd be a better officer than a great many police officers out there. Not that I'm hating on police officers, but...
That kid could be the next Serpico, you know?
It's true. He probably wouldn't be the next, Oh, what the hell is that guy's name that shot the kid in Berkeley, or in Oakland?
Oh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Fuckface.
Bart cop. God. Speaking of that, something that I saw that... I don't think I could have seen in any other city but San Francisco a little while ago. It's right near where I'm working. I walked by this apartment building that had this giant, like, 10 or 12 foot banner that said, BART police are OKKK. And it was just hanging off the fire escape. And, I was...
Yeah, man.
It's now been up for, like, 3 weeks. Hmm. Like, since the tragic incident, that flag has been flying. And I'm pretty into the fact that I live in a city where whoever has put that up hasn't yet been required to take it down. So.
Yeah.
So, way to go. Way to go.
That's what San Francisco's all about.
And actually, to even out, you know, any perceived cop hate, I wanted to maybe give a shout-out to the San Francisco Police Department and their fine work. This past weekend at the Walk for Life, which was I think there were something like 15,000 pro-lifers who marched.
None of whom
are from San Francisco, of course. They're
all bussed in from the Central Valley.
They were bussed in from all over the place by their churches.
Those jerks growing our food? Who the fuck do they think they are?
Dicks. And then they came to San Francisco to tell us that we should not have reproductive choice. So there was a group of counter demonstrators, and the police were out in force, and they were actually really cool. One of them told me he was pro-choice.
Right on.
And I
well, that's because they know who's paying their taxes.
That's true. That's
true. Pro-lifers.
Well, yeah, they're paying their taxes to what, Yuba City?
Yeah.
there was definitely Stockton, a group from Yuba City. There was actually a group from Nevada. Which I thought was...
The state, Nevada?
Yeah, I can't remember where in Nevada, but it was, like, somewhere in Nevada.
I always ask that because when I was in high school, I had a friend who moved to California from Tennessee, but she was originally from Ireland. Excuse me, Ireland. And there's a town in Marin County called Novato. And she told me that she was living there before she moved to her permanent home in a town nearby. But she told me... I asked, hey, do you want to hang out this weekend? She goes, yeah, I live in Nevada or something. She said something that made me think she lived in Nevada. And I was like, what? Because Nevada is like a 3-hour drive.
Right.
And then it transpired that she actually lived in Nevada. And funny story, I know.
No, this group was actually from Nevada, the state, somewhere. And, yeah. And the best thing that I heard all day with that was some 15-year-old, who I'm sure was a big fan of Broken Side, yelled at me to keep it in my pants. And I was really tickled by that.
Did you have your pants off at the time?
No, they were on. They were zipped and I checked my fly. It was there. I think that young lady...
You didn't have anything hanging out of your
pants? No, no.
Maybe she meant your feet.
Maybe.
Keep your feet in your pants, slut.
I think that what she was saying is that because I was on the pro-choice side, that I must be a big, fat whore, and I should not be doing that.
Well, let's be fair.
Yeah.
You are. But not everybody is.
It's true. Not everybody there was. just me, probably. I think the young lady would have been really disappointed to know that I was married.
Mm.
So... I don't have to keep it in my pants.
That's
right. Thank you very much.
In your face.
Yeah.
You showed that, teenager. Stupid teenagers. God damn it.
Anyways, The police, the San Francisco Police Department was really awesome at that march, and I don't normally say that about police forces at all, but they were very cool.
Hooray!
So yeah, our police, you know, yin and yang segment.
Yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, we have some dispatches this time around, I think.
Yep.
I hope. I know for a fact that Katie Badmouth has a dispatch.
Oh.
From Tennessee for the Stop Your Fucking Whining, You Stupid Fucking Sissy segment.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I am here to do a segment to hopefully make you feel a little better about where you live and the things you can't get. I live in a town called Clarksville, Tennessee. It's got about 100,000 something people in it. It's not the smallest place, but it's not very big. And first I thought I would talk about restaurants and what options we have. First, we don't even have any good chains. There's no Chipotle. There's no Qdoba. So basically it's Taco Bell. There are a lot of local burrito places, but I have tentatively tried to ask them before about, you know, what's in your beans and what's in your rice, and they don't even understand why I'm asking. They're like, I don't think there's lard, but they don't understand why it matters. I used to go to IHOP and get vegetarian chili, but they took that away. It's no longer an available item, according to them, or at least at mine. The good things we do have are sushi bars. There are a couple sushi bars, so if I'm really, like, pressed into a corner and I have to go out to dinner, I can ask to go to a Japanese steakhouse, and then I can just get sushi while everyone else gets all their food grilled and stuff. And then we have one Indian restaurant, which is called Tandoor, and they actually recently changed their format a lot, so now they actually have the word vegan on the menu, so that's pretty nice. They have 3 appetizers and 7 of the 11 vegetarian dishes are marked as vegan. So if you have to come here, that is the one saving grace, is that you can, and they do have a lunch buffet as well. The only problem with the lunch buffet is that it's not a set amount of items that they have, so they switch it up every day, so you never know what you're going to get. So usually there's still some vegan things on there, and if you're not, usually you can tell what's vegan, because if it's not vegan and it's either got meat in it or it says cream sauce on it. But if you're really not sure, you can still ask one of the waitresses, and she will ask the owner, and he will come out, and he's a very nice guy. There's also a cafe in the downtown area called The Loving Spoonful, and I've never been there, but I did email the lady once because they advertised that they have tofu pups, so I wanted to know if they had vegan things. And I know I lost the email. I tried to find it so I could actually quote it. But I know she told me that, you know, they have like black-eyed pea salad, and they have hummus and stuff. So it's kind of like a little hippie cafe, I guess. All right, that's all I have for my first segment. I want to thank Jordan and Erica for letting me do this, and I hope to do it again on their next podcast. See you guys.
So we might have a metal minute, if I can get some metalhead to do it.
If you are anywhere near Maryland this May, or actually if you're anywhere near the United States or any other country, if you're anywhere on planet Earth this May, perhaps even on another planet, you need to be at the Maryland Death Fest. This is going to be the greatest show ever put on, certainly this year, certainly any show that I have ever heard of. And what we're going to do in the Metal Minute right now is pretty much just read off a list of the bands starting from the bottom that are going to be playing at this show because we're so fucking excited about what is going to happen. I have with me Nate, who's going to help me read. So, what have we got?
Red cord.
Red cord.
Bird flesh.
Bird flesh.
Pig destroyer!
Pig destroyer.
I don't know, what is that? Phobia?
Phobia.
Venomous concept.
Venomous concept.
Rotten sounds.
Rotten sound.
Today is the day.
Today is the day.
Oh, they must be hot.
That's cattle decapitation, dude.
Cattle decapitation.
They're vegetarian, man. Yeah. Oh, cattle
Misery
decapitation.
Misery index.
Misery index.
Brutal truth.
Brutal truth.
Hail of bullets.
Hail of bullets. General surgery. From Sweden. All the way from Sweden. Psy. All the way from Japan. All the way from Japan.
Cephalic carnage.
Cephalic carnage.
Immolation.
Immolation. That band is so cool, I can't even read what the hell they say. That logo says.
They who shall be named.
They who shall be named. That's Abscess.
Atheist.
Atheist.
Oral Noir.
Oral Noir.
Good luck.
I think that's Marduk.
Napalm Death.
Napalm Death.
Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Pestilence.
Pestilence. Let's go to Asphyx first. Because in the middle at the top is the mighty, mighty Bolt Thrower from England, who never, ever, ever play shows in the States. And it's the greatest event of certainly of my young life that they are going to be playing at this festival and then I'm going to go see them. Bolt Thrower are playing in the United States. This is like more rare than the, you know, Halley's Comet coming over and or some shit like that. So yeah, if you're anywhere near this planet, this May, you need to go to the Maryland Death Fest. It's awesome. I'm sure there's still tickets available. I have my ticket. Nate doesn't have his, but nope, we're representing the, has ticket and needs to buy ticket here. So, you know, there is obviously still tickets available. Go on and yeah, go on and see fucking Bolt Thrower play. You will not regret it. And that is The Metal Minute.
Pranjal and I were talking about a segment that's kind of a tribute to an Alan Partridge segment.
Pranjal's Funny Stories.
A friend of mine is really into football, soccer as you call it here. And when he was younger, he used to play on a youth team, but also played as a ball boy or the sort of professional or adult level matches. So a professional football team came over on a tour, a pre-season tour from England. And among the sort of professional matches they played against league sides in this undisclosed place they traveled to, they also played against an amateur team. Made up of a lot of English people who lived in the area. The match was long and, you know, arduous and tough, and you know, these, you know, it was going to the next level for these amateur players, and they were, you know, they were sort of giving it their all, and they spent all afternoon sweating buckets and, you know, just playing the match of their lives is what they were doing. The match ended as a 0-0 draw, 0-0 for both sides. This was greeted with the most absolutely honest and most beautiful outburst of joy from these amateur players. They were just, you know, absolutely, you know, in ecstasy, like hugging each other. You know, some of them were crying. They had like held this top level team from one of the top leagues in the world to a draw. And it was just, you know, the greatest moment in their footballing careers. And so, you know, I told my friend soon afterwards, I was like, oh, well, it was pretty good. Like, they did that. That's, you know, it's kind of must have been great for them. And he was like, yeah. He was standing right by the bench when the Premier League side made a substitution. One of their players came off and another came on. The player that was coming on had a drink in his hand. And he saw my friend standing there and gave him the glass. And he said, oh, could you hold this for a second or something, you know, something like that. And he's like, oh, I've just got to play a few minutes here. And so he gives my friend the glass. And my friend said, even before he handed the glass to him, he could smell the whiskey in the drink.
Whew, yeah, so, you know, the scenes of outright jubilation and, you know, was against a drunk team who really didn't give a shit. So, moral of the story is, don't try, because you will never win. And, that's a funny story.
Prangel's funny stories.
And, yeah, that's probably all of our dispatches.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on. So what, I can't remember what any of our segments are, because it's been so long since we
Well, I think we make up segments as we require them, and then okay. discard them like used socks.
Hmm.
So I know we had the stop, or what was it? Shut the fuck up, you stupid fucking hippie.
Right.
Do you have any fucking hippie stuff to talk about today? I haven't seen any fucking hippies lately.
I thought that we were actually going to get a few stories out of going to Rainbow right before we
did this.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Because it's coupon day. And yeah. It was kind of a madhouse, but...
I think the problem with us is that living in the Bay Area, we kind of live in hippies the way that fish live in water.
Yeah. We're pretty desensitized.
So yeah.
Them. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's, you know, how do you notice water when you swim in it every day?
Mm-hmm.
How do you notice hippies when you're surrounded by them every day?
Yes. Clearly we need to go to Cafe Gratitude to get some good hippie stories.
The very air you breathe is patchouli scented.
Yes, yes. The server's doing yoga in the kitchen before they bring you your meals.
Well, I did have a story to tell, which kind of highlights the other aspects of living in the Bay Area.
Okay.
So I was walking, I took a little walk around my house yesterday, and I was walking home, and at a bus stop about two or three blocks from my house on a very busy main road of Oakland, there was a guy passed out on the street. Like, he just kind of fallen over on his side, and his legs were kind of drawn up to his chest a little bit. You know, just some passed out bum dude, and, you know. But the funny thing was like, right behind him was a stroller. So the way he was lying and the way the stroller was on the ground, it looked like, as though he'd fallen out of the stroller and just laid there passed out until he grew into a full man. And I was kind of like, you know, part of me wanted, like, wished I had a camera, but part of me kind of walked by quickly, because I was like, oh, scary man sleeping on the ground.
Oh, dear.
My white person, my inner white person told me to run by very quickly and
right.
get home.
Right. Oh, dear.
Oh, I remember some other stuff I wanted to show you. I went to Urban Ore yesterday.
Oh,
which
yes,
is
yes.
The most awesomest place in Berkeley. It's like a Goodwill, but 10 times better. And infinitely cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and rummaged around the photograph drawers for a while. And I found... And I'll probably, like, scan these or photograph them and put them up on the podcast as well. I found this headshot for this young man, JT,
mm-hmm.
who's a recording artist and an extraordinaire.
Right.
Both phrases in separate quotation marks.
Right, right.
Recording artist. Extraordinaire.
Right.
And I have to wonder, it looks, this is probably about 1991.
That's what it looks like to me,
He's
yes.
got the little, like, you know, blazer thing with a t-shirt underneath. Check out the mandals.
Oh, he's wearing mandals.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
This looks like it might have been taken near Lake Merritt in Oakland.
Okay.
But I have to wonder if he predates Jay-Z, or if he, like, entered into a cocoon and blossomed
yes.
as a Jay-Z butterfly. Is this, like, the young Jay-Z we're looking at? Or
maybe.
Is it just JT, totally.
Right. And I should mention that JT is spelled J-A-Y, capital T-E-E.
Yes.
So, like, maybe he's a golf fan.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Like, his name's Jay, and he really likes golf.
And that's, like, his punk name.
Yeah. Well, I guess he could be punk. He doesn't have a punk look going on. He looks more like R&B, like soul.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to sing about making sweet love to you.
Though nowadays, that could almost be a hipster sort of vaguely punk look. Maybe.
Totally.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, and so the other pictures I got, I actually didn't get all of these that there were, because there were a few more. But these are some fashion photos.
Mm.
Some, you know, enterprising designer took these photos to show people how fabulous their clothes are. And these are totally not vegan, because everything in this picture is made out of leather. Except for maybe her turtleneck.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The fly on her pants is easily 14 inches long. And I'm not exaggerating at all.
Yeah.
And she has a button right on her nipple.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
oh my God.
Exactly,
yeah.
On her nipple.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is dated around 1987. Mm-hmm. It's got a big, you know, big shoulder pads, nice long blazer. The hem goes down to her thigh easily. Pleated high-waisted pants.
Oh, Jesus.
With the 14-inch zipper. The blazer's sleeves are rolled up to her elbows.
Yep. That's...
So, I was showing Pranjal these pictures, and then there's the second one, the pink outfit.
Oh.
With the hair updo. You know, right. It's a little classier, maybe an elegant evening look. So, I was showing these to my boyfriend Pranjal last night, and I was talking about, like, how it looks, you know, like, the theme of the different looks, and how she looks all sassy in daytime, like, casual, but, you know, she still means business underneath mm-hmm. it all, but she's, like, relaxed, and this is, like, the sophisticated nighttime look, and I was talking about how it could be, like, a show, like, this is the, you know, she solves crimes by day, and I showed him the second picture, and he kind of stalled for a while, and he goes, and she solves crimes at fancy parties at night, and that was the best he could come up with, so... This lady, I don't know what her name is, but she solves crimes by day and she solves crimes at fancy parties by night.
Her head looks really small in that second one.
I think it's the shoulder pads.
It could be. She looks like she could really beat the shit out of you.
And her, the armholes, which go down almost all the way to the waist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Man, this is quite an outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, leather jacket, leather trousers.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
What is wrong with people?
I really should have gotten the third picture, but I think these two tell a great story. You know, I don't think she can handle having a third job. You know, solving crimes during the day and then solving crimes at fancy parties at night keeps her pretty busy. So right. I don't know that she has time for a third outfit.
Right. I mean, what else was she going to do? Like, solve crimes in the bathroom? Solve
That's
crimes,
true.
Like... In the kitchen sink.
Solve crimes on a yacht.
Mm-hmm. On horseback.
Oh, hey. Mm-hmm. Solving crimes. I think the third outfit was like a black leather thing. So maybe solving crimes on a motorcycle.
At the bear bar?
Going undercover in the motorcycle club. Ah, kombucha.
I can't deal with kombucha.
Really?
I've tried and tried.
There's, when I went to Portland last time, I finally got to eat at Proper Eats, which was really delicious.
I want to go to Portland so bad.
Yeah, it was a really good restaurant, and apparently they make their own kombucha, and you can get a kombucha mother,
which
seemed really cool. My friends forgot to bring plastic bags, though, so they didn't get the kombucha mother, or jars, or whatever. But my friend, Jennifer, who lives there, and is a hilarious bitch, we went there, it was Jennifer and I and her friend, Vanya, who's also a hilarious bitch. And we went to Proper Eats, and apparently there's a waitress there who always seems really distressed. Or not distressed so much as, like, in a bad mood, like having a really bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And they call her Terrible Mystery. That's her name. Because they can never find out why she's so upset. Because she's, like, consistently, like, really upset. So that's her name, Terrible Mystery.
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah. The end.
That's a good punk name, actually.
That was a great story.
Yes. Ta-da!
We should see if anybody sent us any emails asking for advice.
We should. I really hope that somebody has.
Yeah, crack open your laptop.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just, my computer is really slow.
That's cool. Don't worry about
it. Senior citizen. It has a cat hair.
Oh my God, it's like embedded in there.
Embedded
That's
under the
awesome.
Screen.
How does that even happen?
I have no idea.
We have no...
Nothing. Oh, except that
Our podcast got approved for the iTunes store.
Look at us.
So you might be listening to this from iTunes, in which case, welcome, bitches. We should do a Duggar segment.
We definitely
should.
Yes.
Because you talked about the...
Holy shit, the Duggars. What the fuck?
That should be the segment name. Holy shit, the Duggars. What the fuck?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Now it's time for Holy shit, the Duggars. What the fuck?
That's I can deal with that.
Because you talked about that creepy show where they
Oh my God.
The oldest one got married.
Yeah. Let's see. if you can search.
So nobody wants any advice from us, which is hardly surprising. So let's talk about the Duggars instead.
Yeah.
So. Holy fucking shit. The fucking Duggar. I forget how it even goes now.
Look, there it is. We're on awesome. iTunes. Society and culture.
Yeah. I was like, where else would this fit? I think the subcategory was philosophy.
Oh, okay. Well,
because we're full of gems.
Yes, we are. We're full of something.
True.
That's like a dad joke.
You're full of something.
I'm picking those up rapidly from Mike because he's old. and he tells a lot of dad jokes. Anyway, so the Duggars.
You don't have to floss all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep.
Right. In my case, that's about five.
Awesome.
Anyways.
So holy the shit, the Duggars. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, what the fuck?
What the fuck? The Duggars. Jesus okay. Christ. So fucking A.
I mentioned that I was at the pro-choice counter protest over the weekend, and so I figured that was kind of gonna be my fill of fundamentalist Christians for the weekend right there. And then while Mike was at work on Sunday evening, I was watching the Learning Channel, and what should come on but the Duggars wedding spectacular show. If you don't know, I'm sure you all do, but whatever. The Duggars are...
We talk about them in the second episode.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they're the fundamentalist Christian family.
I've got a really nice
kids.
Picture with
oh,
them.
Oh, nice.
I don't
okay.
know that it's the latest picture because it doesn't have 18 kids in it, but...
Right.
It's got a whole mess of them, so,
right.
you know.
So, I mean...
You get the idea.
They're a fundamentalist Christian family, and they're... Oldest child, whose name I've forgotten, but his name must start with a J, got married recently. I think that he got married in September, late September, to his first and only girlfriend, whose name I also can't remember, who is also a fundamentalist Christian. And they had this big wedding spectacular detailing their amazing wedding. And
was it also on TLC?
It was on TLC, yeah. And okay. It scared the shit out of me.
It would scare the shit out of me, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I like to be tolerant of people with different religions and things like that. And I try not to be too big of an asshole.
Yeah.
No,
to their
I don't
faces,
always.
Yeah.
I don't always try, but, you know, I don't think that bashing people just on the basis of their religion is okay. But seriously, this scared the shit out of me. Yeah, well, you are a bigot, so...
Yeah.
Whatever. The young couple, both 20 years old, had only really spent, I think, a matter of days together face-to-face because she was from Florida and they were from Arkansas, something like that. They had not kissed before the wedding. So the wedding, the tension in the reality show was not just around, you know, like, getting the wedding together and, you know, freaking out about, you know, oh my god, my dress, or whatever. It was, like, they were talking about having their first kiss in front of, like, their family and friends and pastors. And, you know, they're a little embarrassed to talk about it, but they're all like, oh, we don't want anything weird to happen. And they had a friend coming in and giving them advice, like, don't bite her. And, like,
kissing is different from eating food.
Right, and don't headbutt her.
Was this seriously advice that people gave?
It was. I think that they were really concerned that he was just going to, like, fucking go for it. And she was going to get...
I'm 20 and I'm a virgin!
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is that he didn't seem all that eager, but the whole time she looked like she was just like, all right,
she's choking,
like,
for it.
Yeah. I mean, which is kind of refreshing in a way. Coming from... a religious culture that, to me, seems to kind of repress female sexuality, just a tad. And then the other really great thing about this wedding was the father, Jim Bob Duggar.
I can't believe that's his real name.
Me either.
Jim Bob,
either, like,
father
the,
of 18.
Who's either, like, the biggest fucking hipster in the world, like, doing this all ironically, and, or just wow. So he sat his son down and gave him a DVD about marital relations, which I know on my wedding night is probably what I wish I'd had.
Yeah.
I wish that my mother had sat me down and said
what every young woman needs to know on her wedding night.
Right.
I think you mentioned this earlier, and I totally agree that we should find this video, a DVD of this on Amazon or what have you. But then you get all these, like, evangelical mailing lists.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, evangelicals really want you. Like, they really want you to be an
recruiting
evangelical.
Now. They're now hiring.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
God's not taking part-time applications at all.
Right. If you want to be saved, you have to. It's a full-time gig.
That's right.
You know, 40 hours a week.
But it comes with benefits, like health insurance.
True. I mean, prayer.
Oh, I'd take health insurance, but whatever.
Right. Well, you know, they're not miracle workers. Anyways, so scary fundamentalist belief systems.
Yeah.
What?
How about them?
How about them? I mean, what are you gonna do, right?
Pretty crazy.
It is. So, anyways, I'm terrified of the Duggars. I'm sure they're all nice people, but I'm really scared of them.
Yeah. I'm sure they are really nice people. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the
nice people suck. Fuck them.
The mom seems like the most posy person I've ever seen in my life. You know, like there's all those like posy.
If I had 18 kids, I would not be in a good place the way she is.
No, me neither. And I mean, you know, like she's.
I would require heavy doses of pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Alcohol.
I mean, she looks pretty healthy. She looks pretty happy. Like she's not. You know, I think that if I had 18 kids, I would let myself go a little bit. I think that I would kind of give myself permission to eat ice cream for every single meal.
Yeah.
And, you know, but she has, I'm sure that it's part of her religion, but she has not done that. She's a petite little woman. And,
in a denim overall dress.
Yes. Yes.
With feathered bangs.
Yes. She's stylish.
Yeah, I would say my greatest umbrage with the evangelical movement is not so much their beliefs as much as their style of dress. I mean, what the fuck, people?
That's true. And they seem to be getting dangerously into some of those Mormon sects. I mean, have you seen Big Love?
I have seen Big Love, yeah.
Because Mrs. Duggar looks a lot like Nikki from Big Love.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. I wonder if she has credit card debt.
I wonder. Mormons with credit card debt. The next root of the next financial crisis. who knows? John Adams isn't going to help you out of that one. Is it John Adams?
What?
Who's the founder of Mormonism?
Oh, no. John Adams.
Wait, John Adams didn't.
Okay, I'll give you that one because you're Canadian.
Well, what is the name of the...
Brigham... No, not Brigham Young. Joseph Smith.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Brigham Young was
John
the...
Adams. Now I actually
Now I really want to see the miniseries.
anyways, Canadians are stupid, too. do you think this might be a good time to do the stuff in my house segment?
Yeah, totally.
For the listeners at home, I live in how many square feet do you think this is?
Probably like 350.
Really? That big?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to live in Hong Kong. I'm pretty good at estimating the square footage of a house.
I will defer to Erica's expertise. But I live in a fairly small place. So my husband and I live here with his,
amazing collection of
TV
shit.
And, yeah, just astounding collection of... Just,
amazing shit.
Yeah. Amazing shit. Like, we have a KISS pinball machine.
Mm. There's another...
A tabletop Dig Dug machine. Yeah. Yes. Let's see. Just looking directly in front of me, there is a actual crystal ball. There is...
There's a little blowfish toy.
That was actually a Christmas present from Jen.
It's cute. It reminds me of when I was looking up the headlines, there was a story about... again, it wasn't a good headline, but it was a great story about how in Japan, some sushi chef prepared blowfish testicles for somebody.
Oh, my.
And it sickened 7 people. 7 people got sent to the hospital in Japan.
Well, now it's sickened 8. I'm
You're full
on
of them
fire today.
You're full of beans.
Yeah, I am. So what else has Mike got in here? I mean,
I think you should talk about the thing you found, and I'll quickly look around. I see a chicken claw just on top of your DVD player.
That's true.
I see a maraca.
Probably the best place to look is kind of over on the pinball machine.
Oh, okay.
There's just on any of these shelves. We're in the kitchen. You should take a gander.
I did see some good stuff in the kitchen. All right, you talk about the bat.
All right.
I'll have a quick look around.
So I will take a picture of this, and we can post a picture of what it is that I'm holding in my hands for the listener's benefit. But what I have here is a dead bat. It's a little tiny, average-looking bat that appears to have died from natural causes and has been splayed out and attached to a piece of cardboard with some other little strips of cardboard and staples, and then covered in some kind of clear plastic thing. So I don't know what the hell this is doing in my house, but we have a dead bat attached to cardboard, and we're probably going to mount him above the door to the kitchen. And
I like the fact that, you know, you married this guy, you moved in with him, and then you just start finding strange stuff all over his house. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like dead bats. I mean, and he'll just be like,
a chicken claw.
Yeah. And he'll just be like,
I picked that up.
I don't remember where I got that one. And he acts like it's no big thing. But, I mean, he has...
I could spend hours... Very highly amused in your small space here.
Yes. If you
it's packed full of goodies.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should do a photo tour sometime.
I think for me, my favorite item of Mike's, just from a cursory glance around, is it's a tie between the snakeskin gimp mask in your kitchen.
That's right. That was given to him by his grandma.
Oh, okay. And the meat tie he found recently
on
the fridge. It's a collection of photographs of people with meat, including one woman with really horrific breast implants that's been laminated with what looks like contact paper and then stitched into the shape of a tie with a little piece of Velcro on it.
Yeah.
And he found it on the street?
Yeah, at a bus stop or something like that. He found it on New Year's Eve and was going to try and wear it to the New Year's Eve party, but he didn't.
Alas, he had no Velcro on his shirt.
Yeah, alas. Alas, indeed.
I would also like to note that you have a collection of recorders up here, like the musical instrument.
That's true, we do. And
that's
a tin whistle.
You could have like a little orchestra. A little recorder orchestra.
We could. Mike sometimes, when he's been drinking, will play the recorders, and I don't like it, unfortunately. I don't like when he plays recorders. But yeah, that's the first installment of weird stuff in my house. There will be many more.
I'm sure there will.
I'm going to start bringing stuff over to your place when we record.
Awesome.
I
heartily approve.
Yeah.
I have some weird shit in my house, but not nearly as much weird shit as your husband's got. Oh.
Well, I mean, if you were to look up in the attic, aside from the, 12 boxes of porn, which I feel honor-bound for Mike to point out is... not actually for his own personal use, but he used to work at Adult Video Network.
It's his resume, all right? Don't judge.
Yeah, and he got a lot of free porn. And he's given it away for free before, too. So if anybody's in need of some free porn.
I don't think anybody is. You're not going to get anybody asking you about that.
No
nobody
free
wants
porn.
Free porn. Shit.
You're probably right.
So I'm looking over at this beam by your attic, and mm-hmm. I see a small alien doll
yes,
hanging down.
Hanging by his tail, yes.
Yes. And that reminds me of the time I went to Universal Studios with my parents, and we took the alien ride, and the big fake animatronic alien they had totally drooled on me.
Gross.
It was gross. I felt this dripping thing. I was like 10. I felt this dripping thing, and I looked up, and the alien was like hanging on the ceiling, and I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my god. Were you terrified or just really grossed out?
No, I don't think I'd ever seen the movies at that point. I mean, I'd heard about them, but I was kind of like, I mean, you know, I wasn't at that age where I thought it was real.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was like, there's a big fake alien drooling on me. That's kind of gross.
Yeah. God.
I'm sure it really fucked up my hypercolor t-shirt.
Oh, hypercolor t-shirts. You've just brought back so many memories.
I didn't actually have a hypercolor t-shirt. I was just trying to be, like, rad in retrospect.
I had one, but it was really stupid, because it was, like, after, because when my dad left us, we were really poor for a while, so I was really behind some of the trends. So by
the
time...
you're already in Canada,
yeah,
so.
right.
I'm just teasing you.
Probably that's why Mike and I get along so well, because he's 8 years older than me, but we were probably going through the trends at the same time. anyways, my hypercolor shirt, it was like the next generation hypercolor shirt, and so it didn't just change like from one color to another. It was like, it had like two
Whoa.
Separate stages, except the second stage was white. So
oh.
It was like, it was supposed to be like, if you're between this temperature and this temperature, then it'll be color number one. And then the other range of temperatures is color number two. And then the third range of temperatures is the third color. And body temperature was in the third range of temperatures. So whenever you wore it, it would just basically be white. And it was the most disappointing.
That is disappointing.
Shirt ever. And I was like, you know.
Either that or you're just walking around with like white armpits. And a regular colored shirt.
Luckily for me, it was not that close to the border. But, I was really disappointed with this shirt. And it was, like, 18 sizes too big because I was a midget child.
Thuggin'.
Yeah, I was. I really was. But, it was really sad. It was probably, like...
I actually never had a hypercolor shirt. It'll be my dying regret. But I seem to remember the hypercolor kind of washed out after three washes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember, too. But,
I mean, like, the ultimate fad, it, like, doesn't even work after three washes.
Yeah. That is pretty cool, though. You know, I think we should bring that back.
Let's do it.
I would wear a hypercolor t-shirt if I could find one now.
Yeah, I've never seen them at thrift stores, which makes me wonder where the hell they all went.
Well, I wonder if they were, like, super dangerous and there's going to start being those ads on TV, like...
Maybe.
Have you developed, you know, horrifying cancer?
You could be part of a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm counting on for my livelihood.
Did you ever wear L.A. Gears with the multicolored laces, like more than
no.
one pair of shoelaces?
No, you know what? I didn't because they were around before my parents got split up, so we weren't so broke, but my parents were cheapskates. So
or
no.
Did you have like a Canadian equivalent, like BC Gears?
No, we had L.A. gear up there, but you know, I actually...
I'm giving you a really hard time today for being Canadian.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm being a dick today.
You'll get yours, American.
It's okay, my grandma's Canadian. I can make fun of you. It's not
racist. Yeah. Everybody makes fun of us, but it's okay because we make fun of you
okay. Real
bad.
Fair enough.
Canadians,
except we just don't care.
Canadians hate Americans. It's a big thing in Canada. Like, we really hate you guys.
Do you guys have, like, the, like, Minutemen equivalent of Canadian? Or
no,
like...
we'll take your stupid frat boy money, but... But we
but do
just...
have, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the American equivalent of, like, you know, like the old Confederate flag or something, you know, like people who are
no.
like, Canada for Canadians,
not
jerk.
Really, though. There are people like that in Quebec.
Right.
The hardcore Pure Laine Quebecois, which Pure Laine means basically like pure wool. So it's sort of like, you know, dyed in the wool, old school Quebecers. That are just like, everybody else, get the fuck out of Quebec. And it's really racist and bad, but it's also kind of funny because it's like, seriously? Really?
It's cute because they're harmless.
Well, They're not. They disenfranchised me, but...
They wouldn't let you vote.
They wouldn't let me
vote.
That's
fucked up, man.
But they are mostly harmless. I mean, they're just kind of like mostly old, crotchety, oddly dressed people. there aren't a lot of young people who are into that whole thing. What was I going to say? Oh, but yeah, Canadians hate Americans, and we actually, one of our most popular national television stars made a name for himself doing a segment called Talking to Americans, where he would come into the States with his crew and everything, and he would basically make up outrageous lies that, you know, were really pretty outrageous, and any reasonably educated person should have known about, and got Americans to, like, believe him and be idiots on camera. So, like, and he got George W. Bush. Wow.
Oh, my God.
When, I think in, like, 2001 or something like that. Ugh. Just after he'd been inaugurated, I think, the first time. And he came down and he held his microphone in George W.'s face and he said, you know, I'm from, you know, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and, you know, our Prime Minister Jean Poutine sends his greatest congratulations. What do you think about this? You know, Jean Poutine being the first guy to get his congratulations in there, and George W. Bush, who should really know better, even as George W. Bush, said, my best wishes also to Jean Poutine, the Canadian Prime Minister.
His name's Jacques Poutine. Doesn't he know anything? God.
So. Yeah, and, like, we've got people, like, Americans congratulate. Like, he'll go down, he'll put the microphone in people's face, and he'll be like, so, Canada just finally got the 24-hour clock, you know, what do you have to say to Canada? And they'll be like these, you know, Chicagoans or whatever, and they'll be like, congratulations, Canada, on getting the 24-hour clock. Or
we,
like,
just got indoor plumbing.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, so, whatever, America.
When my cousin from Sweden came and lived with me for a year in high school as an exchange student, and people asked her a lot of stupid questions. She was asked, the three that stand out in my mind are, do you live in igloos?
Oh, I've been asked that.
I'm sure you have.
Yes.
I bet you have. Do you have toilets? And do you have television?
I think I've been asked about television.
You know what? Sweden has three channels, okay? So just back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Three channels, bitch.
Three.
Three.
Yeah.
One, two,
well,
three.
Yeah. So anyways, America, you're not all that.
And a bag of chips.
Right.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Should we squeeze in some movie reviews? Have you seen any movies this week?
Yes, I saw a movie last night that I liked. I saw Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, we were curious about it because of the Oscar nomination for Robert Downey Jr., who I have kind of a boner for.
Even though he's addicted to cocaine and prostitutes.
Is he still? I thought
Probably.
He got over it. I guess once you're addicted.
You are always an addict, Jordan. Once an addict, always an addict.
That's true.
Even if you're sober, you're still an addict.
That's
right. I learned
that
from watching Sober House yesterday.
Oh, dear. I have so much to learn. But yes, Tropic Thunder I thought was going to be really annoying and stupid, and I thought that all of the jokes were going to be about toilets. And it wasn't. It was really good, actually.
Too many movies these days are all about toilets.
I know, and it's just like, okay, really? I like toilets as much as the next person, but come on.
Now, I find poo as funny as the next guy.
Yeah, right.
You gotta draw a line somewhere.
So Tropic Thunder, I was prepared for Jack Black to be horrifyingly annoying, and Ben Stiller to be horrifyingly annoying, and they weren't. They were actually both really good.
Awesome.
And
I have to ask you about the Robert Downey Jr. character, because I know there was a lot of controversy about him, you know, like a lot of people said it was minstrel show and blackface and everything.
Right.
What's your take on that whole
Well,
thing.
I mean, it was really kind of lampooning the whole thing. I mean, the joke was that it was a terribly insensitive, stupid thing for
okay.
his fictitious movie studio to have gotten him to do.
So they acknowledge that it's like
yeah. I mean,
really...
well, I mean that's the joke. It's like
okay.
it's that you know what it's that it's just so implicitly funny that,
right,
that they would get this, you know, white guy. Like, there's, it, you kind of have to see it, but the beginning of the movie opens up with these three fake trailers for each of, right, the three actors.
Okay.
And his is like, he's, you know, it's like, clearly it's like supposed to be an Oscar bait kind of movie. And, and it's about, you know, a gay priest, the trailer, and he's just, you know, it's like so over the top, like this guy's, right, the greatest, right, actor. And then there's like a little clip where it says, you know, oh, this guy's decided to controversially undergo this pigmentation, right, procedure to do blah, 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 blah. And it's just, I mean, that's just, it's a running joke that they got this white guy, okay, to play a black guy. So it's not, you know, it's not like in the movie. In the movie, they hired him because he was like the best actor and they didn't care that he was white, even though the character was black.
Okay.
But in, you know, real life, they hired him to be a white guy playing a black guy.
Uh-huh.
Right, or they hired him to be, yeah, the white guy who plays the white guy who plays the black guy.
So, this is very confusing.
You have to see the movie.
Okay.
The cinematography is also very nice.
I will check it out. I was a little apprehensive about it because I remember it came out at the same time as The Love Guru, which was much a blackface minstrel,
yes,
show thing, except it wasn't, you know, for black people, it's for Indian people.
Right.
And, you know, even though Mike Myers tried to argue, like, that the character is white, therefore it's not racist, but, you know.
Because white people, yeah, can't be racist.
Yeah. He's white, therefore it's not racist for him to make fun of, you know, Indian culture or,
right,
religion, or, you know, completely remake a movie that was better made a few years ago with Jimmy Mystery called The Guru. Anyway, I digress. But
how,
yeah,
embarrassing for Canada, might I say.
Well, you know, you've got a few other people to boost you up. You know, you guys got Michael J. Fox.
That's true. He's a Canadian hero. He's from my hometown.
Is he?
Yep.
Awesome. Right on.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry.
His latest photo shoot with People Magazine bears a startling resemblance to Josh Hooten.
Really?
Yes.
Now that's juicy.
Yeah, there's a few, like, the cover shot and then a few pictures in the magazine. I'm like, Josh Hooten. Josh
My
Hooten
goodness.
Is Michael J. Fox.
Are they
except
separated
taller.
At birth?
Maybe. Although they'd have to be fraternal twins, because I don't think Josh Hooten is a hobbit.
True.
And he doesn't have Parkinson's.
Though maybe he had, like, leg surgery. But
oh, maybe.
Maybe they add, like, 6 inches of bone,
yeah,
to his calves. Have you ever,
totally,
you ever noticed him to have freakishly long calves?
Yeah, I have, actually. It's true.
We're on to you, Hooten.
We are. Hooten, you're on notice. We'll have a little jingle there.
Josh Hooten, secret Canadian.
Yes. Closet Canadian.
Right.
Well, I saw a great movie last week.
Mm-hmm.
Called Otto, or
oh, right,
Up With Dead People.
Yes.
Which is a film by Bruce LaBruce, who is a filmmaker who's so gay he can hardly function. I've seen one other film by him. It was probably 10 years ago. It's called No Skin Off My Ass. And his films are mostly about gay sex and very little in terms in way of plot. And he seems to have a fetish with skinheads, which of course is what No Skin Off My Ass was about. It's about a skinhead, you know, having lots of gay sex with some dude who's obsessed with skinheads. And Otto takes place in Germany, but is in English, which kind of reminded me of Dario Argento.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the English wasn't as badly done
just
as a Dario.
Just speak your lines in whatever language,
yes,
you happen to speak. We'll figure,
yeah,
it out later.
It wasn't as poorly dubbed as in a Dario Argento film.
Yes.
Like, the actors were actually speaking English, even though they sounded silly because they all had accents. It's like, just speak German. I can read subtitles. But yeah, it's about this kid who is a 20-year-old guy who's really hot, but of course he's gay. Sorry, ladies. And I guess it appears to transpire through the film that he think it might be that he's not actually a zombie. Like, it's a psychological thing with him that he thinks he's a zombie, but he's not really. But I don't know. It was really artsy. Like, the first half was very, like, mirror, father, mirror. And I was the only person in the theater. There were two people, or there was one other person when I started the movie. But she walked out after the scene where a zombie fucks his dead boyfriend in his gaping abdominal wound. featuring an actual erect penis and actual penetration. Although
really?
I'm assuming that the guy's wound wasn't real, but
right,
the guy was really fucking him in his side.
Huh.
At which point I laughed and the other person got up and left. So I watched the rest of the movie by myself, and it actually got interesting towards the end. It was fun. Otto, it's good. It's pretty artsy, but, you know, sometimes you have to balance hard dicks with artsy in order to get your movie into theaters. So, you know, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, you know, I wonder if that's a good place to end this episode.
Yeah,
hard dicks. Hard dicks. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
With more hard dicks. Hopefully.
Some more sass talking.
Right.
Here comes the jingle.
Before the jingle. We're taking advice. We're giving advice. We don't need advice. We are going to give you advice.
So, yeah, because your life is fucked up and you need us to tell you what to do.
Yeah, we're actually fairly together.
I think we are.
Yeah, no, we are.
I mean, don't let all that talk about us being unemployed fool you.
Right, right. I mean,
we got our shit together, man. Our shit is airtight.
Pretty much. So send an email if you want advice from us. Send an email, and please, seriously, do, because, come on, to thecosmopolitanhour@gmail.com.
Which I've learned is really hard to type.
Yeah, it is hard to type. So double check. It's
Cosmopolitan,
not ITAIN. That's wrong. It's ITAN.
If you write it that way, you're @gmail.com. French, you suck.
Yes. So that's it.
Yeah.
And we're going to sign off and see you next week. And hopefully answer your burning advice question.
Yes.
About hard
Better dance. Than Dan Savage.
Yes.
Okay, bye.